What sort of person does that make me? To have been filled with dread when he arrived today. Rowan again opened his mouth to answer, but she cut him off, her voice breaking. I thought I could escape it. For just a moment. And as soon as I did, the gods brought Dorian sweeping right back into my path. Tell me that's not intentional. Tell me that those gods, or whichever forces might also rule this world, aren't roaring that I should still be the one to forge the lock. Rowan just stared at her for a long moment, his chest heaving. Then he said, What if those forces didn't lead Dorian into our path, so you alone might pay the debt? I don't understand. What if they brought you together? To not pick one or the other, but to share the burden with each other. Even the fire in the braziers seemed to pause. Rowan's eyes glowed as he blazed ahead. That day you destroyed the glass castle? When you joined hands, your power? I'd never seen anything like it. You were able to meld your powers to become one. If the lock demands all of you, then why not give half? Half of each of you, when you both bear Mala's blood. Aelin slid slowly into her chair.
We don't know it will work.
It's better than walking into your own execution with your head bowed. She snarled.
How could I ever ask him to do it?
Because it is not your burden alone. That's why. Dorian knows this, has accepted it. Because the alternative is losing you.
The rage in his eyes fractured, right along with his voice.
I would go in your stead if I could.
Her own heart cracked. I know.
Rowan fell to his knees before her, putting his head in her lap as his arms wrapped around her waist. I can't bear it, Aelin. I can't.
She threaded her fingers through his hair. I wanted that 1,000 years with you, she said softly. I wanted to have children with you. I wanted to go into the afterworld together.
Her tears landed in his hair. Rowan lifted his head. Then fight for it. One more time. Fight for that future.
She gazed at him, at the life she saw in his face, all that he offered. All that she might have, too. I need to ask you to do something.
Aelin's voice roused Dorian from a fitful sleep. He sat up on his cot. From the silence of the camp, it had to be the dead of night.
What?
Rowan was standing guard behind her, watching the army camp beneath the trees. Dorian caught his emerald gaze, saw the answer he already needed. The prince had come through on his silent promise earlier. Aelin's throat bobbed.
Together, she said, her voice cracking. What if we forged the lock? Together.
Dorian knew her plan, her desperate hope, before she laid it out. And when she finished, Aelin only said,
I am sorry to even ask you.
I am sorry I didn't think of it, he replied. And pushed to his feet, tugging on his boots. Rowan turned toward them now, waiting for an answer that he knew Dorian would give. So Dorian said to them both,
Yes.
Aelin closed her eyes, and he couldn't tell if it was from relief or regret. He laid a hand on her shoulder. He didn't want to know what the argument had been like between her and Rowan to get her to agree, to accept this. For Aelin to have even said yes. Her eyes opened, and only bleak resolve lay within.
We do it now,
she said hoarsely.
Before the others. Before goodbyes.
Dorian nodded. She only asked, Do you want Kaol to be there?
He thought about saying no.
Thought about sparing his friend from another goodbye.
When there was such joy on Kaol's face, such peace. But Dorian still said,
Yes.
Chapter 93. The four of them strode in silence through the trees, down the ancient road to the salt mines. It was the only place the scouts weren't watching. Every step closer made her queasy, a slow sweat breaking down her spine. Rowan kept his hand gripped around hers, his thumb brushing over her skin. Here, in this horrible dead place of so much suffering, here was where she would face her fate, as if she had never escaped it. Not really. Under the cover of darkness, the mountains in which the mines were carved were little more than shadows. The great wall that surrounded the death camp was nothing but a stain of blackness. The gates had been left open, one broken on its hinges. Perhaps the freed slaves had tried to rip it down on their way out. Aelin's fingers tightened on Rowan's as they passed beneath the archway and entered the open grounds of the mines. There, in the center, there stood the wooden posts where she had been whipped, on her first day, on so many days. And there, in the mountain to her left, that was where the pits were, the lightless pits they'd shoved her into. The buildings of the mine's overseers were dark. Husks. It took all her self-control to keep from looking at her wrists, where the shackle scars had been. To not feel the cold sweat sliding down her back, and know no scars lay there either. Just Rowan's tattoo, inked over smooth skin. As if this place were a dream. Some nightmare conjured by Maeve. The irony wasn't lost on her. She'd escaped shackles twice now, only to wind up back here. A temporary freedom. Borrowed time. She'd left Goldrin in their tent. The sword would be of little use where they were going. "I never thought we'd see this place again," Dorian murmured. "Certainly not like this." None of the king's steps faltered, his face somber as he gripped Damaris's hilt, ready to meet whatever awaited them. The pain she knew was coming. No, she had not ever really escaped at all. Had she? They halted near the center of the dirt yard. Elena had walked her through forging the lock, putting the keys back into the gate. Though there would be no great display of magic, no threat to anyone around them, she had wanted to be away, far from anyone else. In the moonlight, Kaol's face was pale.
"What do you need us to do?"
"Be here," Aelin said simply. "That is enough." It was the only reason she was still able to endure standing here, in this hateful place. She met Dorian's inquiring stare and nodded. No use in wasting time. Dorian embraced Kaol, the two of them speaking too quietly for Aelin to hear. Aelin only began to sketch a word mark in the dirt, large enough for her and Dorian to stand in. There would be two, overlapping with each other. Open, close. Lock, unlock. She'd learned them from the start, had used them herself.
"No sweet farewells, princess?"
Rowan asked, as she traced the mark with her foot. "They seem dramatic," Aelin said. "Far too dramatic, even for me." But Rowan halted her, the second symbol half finished, tipped back her chin.
"Even when you're there,"
he said, his pine green eyes so bright under the moon.
"I am with you."
He laid a hand on her heart.
"Here. I am with you here."
She laid her own hand on his chest and breathed his scent deep into her lungs, her heart.
"As I am with you. Always."
Rowan kissed her.
"I love you,"
he whispered onto her mouth.
"Come back to me."
Then Rowan retreated, just beyond the unfinished marks. The absence of his scent, his heat, filled her with cold. But she kept her shoulders back, kept her breathing steady as she memorized the lines of Rowan's face. Dorian, eyes shining bright,
stepped onto the marks. Aelin said to Rowan, "Seal the last one when we're done." Her prince, her mate, nodded. Dorian drew out a folded bit of cloth from his jacket, opened it to reveal two slivers of black stone and the amulet of Orinth. Her stomach roiled, nausea at their otherworldliness threatening to bring her to her knees. But she took the amulet of Orinth from him.
"I thought you might be the one who wished to open it,"
Dorian said quietly. "Here, in the place where she'd suffered and endured. Here, in the place where so many things had begun." Aelin weighed the ancient amulet in her palms, ran her thumbs along the golden seam of its edges. For a heartbeat, she was again in that cozy room in a riverside estate, her mother beside her, bequeathing the amulet into her care. Aelin traced her fingers over the word marks on the back, the runes that spelled out her hateful fate. "Nameless is my price." Written here, all this time, for so many centuries, a warning from Brannan, and a confirmation. Their sacrifice. Her sacrifice. Brannan had raged at those gods, had marked the amulet and laid all those clues for her to one day find, so she might understand. As if she could somehow defy this fate. A fool's hope. Aelin turned the amulet back over, brushing her fingers along the immortal stag on its front. Borrowed time. It had all been borrowed time. The gold sealing the amulet melted away in her hands, hissing as it dropped onto the icy dirt. With a twist, she pulled apart the two sides of the amulet. The unearthly reek of the third key hit her, beckoning, whispered in languages that did not exist in Irelia and never would. Aelin only dumped the sliver of word key into Dorian's awaiting hand. It clinked against the other two, and the sound might have echoed into eternity, into all worlds. Dorian shuddered, Kaol and Rowan flinching. Aelin just pocketed the two halves of the amulet, a piece of Terrasen to take with her, wherever they were about to go. Aelin met Rowan's stare one last time, saw the words there. "Come back to me." She'd take those words, that face with her too. Even when the lock demanded everything, that would remain, would always remain. She swallowed past the tightness in her throat, broke Rowan's piercing stare, and then sliced open her palm, then Dorian's. The stars seemed to shift closer, the mountains peering over Aelin's and Dorian's shoulders as she sliced her knife a third time down her forearm, deep and wide, skin splitting. To open the gate, she must become the gate. Erewhon had begun the process of turning Caltain Rompier into that gate, had put the stone within her arm not for safekeeping, but to prepare her body for the other stones, to turn her into a living word gate that he might control. Just one sliver in her body had destroyed Caltain. To put all three in her own? "My name is Aelin Ashriver Galathinius, and I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Ready?" Aelin breathed. Dorian nodded. With a final look at the stars, one final look at the Lord of the North standing guard over Terrasen mere miles away, Aelin took the shards from Dorian's outstretched palm. And as she and Dorian joined bloodied hands, as their magic roared through them and wove together, blinding and eternal, Aelin slammed the three word keys into the open wound of her arm. Rowan sealed the word marks with a swipe of his foot through the icy earth. Just as Aelin clapped her palm upon her arm, sealing the three word keys into her body while her other hand gripped Dorian's. It had to work. It had to have been why their paths had crossed, why Aelin and Dorian had found each other twice now in this exact place. He could accept no other alternative. He couldn't have let her go otherwise. Rowan didn't breathe. Beside him, he wasn't sure if Kaol did either. But while Aelin and Dorian still stood there, heads high despite the fear he scented coursing through them, their faces had gone vacant, empty. No flash of light, no flare of power. Aelin and Dorian simply stood, hands united, and stared ahead. Blank, unseeing, frozen, gone. Here, but gone. As if their bodies were shells.
What happened?
Kaol breathed. Aelin's hand fell from where it had been clapped onto her arm and dangled limply at her side, revealing that open wound, the black slivers of rock shoved inside it. Something in Rowan's chest, intricate and essential, began to strain, began to go taut. The mating bond. Rowan lurched forward a step, a hand on his chest. No! The mating bond writhed, as if in agony, as if in terror. He halted, Aelin's name on his lips. Rowan fell to his knees as the three word keys within Aelin's arm dissolved into her blood, like dew in the sun. Chapter 94. As it had been once before, so it was again. The beginning and end and eternity. A torrent of light, of life that flowed between them. Two halves of a cleaved bloodline. Mist swirled, veiling the solid ground beneath. An illusion, perhaps, for their minds to bear where they now stood. A place that was not a place, in a chamber of many doors. More doors than they could ever hope to count. Some made of air, some of glass. Some of flame and gold and light. A new world beyond each. A new world beckoning. But they remained there. In the crossroads of all things. In bodies that were not their bodies. They stood amid all those doorways, their power pouring out, pooling before them. Blending and merging, a ball of light, of creation, hovering in midair. Every ember that flowed from them into the growing sphere before them, into the lock taking form, would not return. It would not replenish. A well running dry. Forever. More and more and more, ripping from them with each breath, creation and destruction. The sphere swirled, its edges warping, shrinking, forming into the shape they'd chosen. A thing of gold and silver. The lock that would seal all these infinite doors forever. Still, they gave over their power. Still, the forming of the lock demanded more. And it began to hurt. She was Aelin, and yet she was not. She was Aelin, and yet she was infinite. She was all worlds. She was Aelin. She was Aelin. And by letting the keys into her, they had entered the true word gate. A step, or a thought, or a wish would allow them to access any world they desired. Any possibility. An archway lingered behind them. An archway that would smell of pine and snow. Slowly, the lock formed, light turning to metal, to gold and silver. Dorian was panting, his jaw stretched tight, as they gave and gave and gave their power toward it, never to see it again. It was agony, agony like nothing she had known. She was Aelin. She was Aelin and not the things that she'd set in her arm, not this place that existed beyond reason. She was Aelin. She was Aelin, and she had come here to do something, had come here promising to do something. She fought her rising scream as her power rippled away, like peeling skin from her bones. Precisely how Cairn had done it,
delighted in it. She had outlasted him, though, had escaped Maeve's clutches. She had outlasted them both to do this, to come here. But she had been wrong. She couldn't bear it, couldn't stomach it. This loss and pain and growing madness as a new truth became clear. They would not leave this place. Would have nothing left anyway. They would dissolve. Mist to float into the fog around them. It was agony like Dorian had never known. His very self unraveled thread by thread. The shape of the lock, Elena had told Aelin, did not matter. It could have been a bird or a sword or a flower for all this place, this gate, cared. But their minds, what was left of them as they frayed, chose the shape they knew, the one that made the most sense. The eye of Elena, born again. The lock, once more. Aelin began screaming, screaming and screaming. His magic ripped away from that sacred, perfect place inside him. It would kill them to forge it. It'd kill them both. They had come here out of the desperate hope they'd both leave. And if they did not halt, if they did not stop this, neither would. He tried to move his head, tried to tell her, stop. His magic tore out of him, the lock drinking it down, a force not to be leashed, an insatiable hunger that devoured them. Stop! He tried to speak, tried to pull back. Aelin was sobbing now, sobbing through her teeth. Soon, soon now, the lock would take everything. And that final destruction would be the most brutal and painful of all. Would the gods make them watch, as they claimed Elena's soul? Would he even have the chance, the ability to try to help her, as he had promised Gavin? He knew the answer. Stop. 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 Dorian heard the words, and for a heartbeat did not recognize the speaker. Until a man appeared from one of those impossible yet possible doorways, a man who looked of flesh and blood, as they were, and yet shimmered at his edges. His father. Chapter 95. His father stood there. The man he had last seen on a bridge in a glass castle, and yet not. There was kindness on his face, humanity, and sorrow, such terrible, pained sorrow. Dorian's magic faltered. Even Aelin's magic slowed in surprise, the torrent thinning to a trickle, a steady and agonizing drain. Stop. The man breathed, staggering toward them, glancing at the ribbon of power, blinding and pure, feeding the lock's formation. Aelin said, this cannot be stopped. His father shook his head. I know. What has begun can't be halted. His father. No, Dorian said. No, you cannot be here. The man only looked down, to Dorian's side, to where a sword might be. Did you not summon me? Damaris. He had been wearing Damaris within that ring of word marks, in their world, their existence, he still did. The sword, the unnamed god it served, apparently thought he had one truth left to face. One more truth before his end. No, Dorian repeated. It was all he could think to say, as he looked upon him, the man who had done such terrible things to all of them. His father lifted his hands in supplication. My boy. He only breathed. Dorian had nothing to say to him, hated that this man was here, at the end and beginning. Yet his father looked to Aelin. Let me do this. Let me finish this. What? The word snapped from Dorian. You were not chosen, Aelin said, though the coldness in her voice faltered. Nameless is my price, the king said.
Aelin went still.
Nameless is my price,
his father repeated. The warning of an ancient witch, the damning words written on the back of the amulet of Orinth.
For the bastard-born mark you bear, you are nameless. Yet am I not so as well?
He glanced between them, his eyes wide.
What is my name?
This is ridiculous, Dorian said through his teeth. Your name is... But where there should have been a name, only an empty hole existed.
You...
Aelin breathed.
Your name is...
How is it that you don't have one? That we don't know it? Dorian's rage slipped, and the agony of having his magic, his soul shredded from him, became secondary, as his father said.
Erewhon took it, wiped it from history, from memory. An ancient, terrible spell so powerful it could only be used once. All so I might be his most faithful servant. Even I do not know my name. Not anymore. I lost it.
Nameless is my price, Aelin murmured. Dorian looked then at the man who had been his father, truly looked at him.
My boy,
his father whispered again. And it was love, love and pride and sorrow that shone in his face. His father, who had been possessed as he had, who had tried to save them in his own way and failed. His father, who had everything taken from him, but had never bowed to Erewhon, not entirely.
I want to hate you,
Dorian said, his voice breaking.
I know,
his father said.
You destroyed everything.
He couldn't stop his tears. Aelin's hand only tightened in his.
I am sorry.
His father breathed.
I am sorry for all of it, Dorian.
And even the way his father said his name. He had never heard him speak it like that. Dismiss him, throw him into some hell world, that's what he should do. And yet Dorian knew for whom he had really brought down Morath. For whom he'd buried that room of callers, the hateful tomb around them.
I'm sorry,
his father said again. He did not need Damaris to tell him the words were true.
Let me pay this debt,
his father said, stepping closer.
Let me pay this, do this. Does Mala's blood not flow through my veins as well?
You don't have magic.
Not like we do,
Aelin said. Her eyes sorrowful. His father met Aelin's stare.
I have enough, just enough in my blood to help.
Dorian glanced over his shoulder, toward the archway that opened to Irelia. To home.
Then let him,
he said, though the words did not come out with the iciness he wished. Only heaviness and exhaustion. Aelin said softly to his father. I had planned to before it got to the end.
Then you will not be alone now,
his father replied. Then the man smiled at him. A vision of the king, the father he might have been. Had always been, despite what had befallen him.
I am grateful that I got to see you again. One last time.
Dorian had no words. Couldn't find them. Not as Aelin turned to him, tears sliding down her face as she said,
One of us has to rule.
Before Dorian could understand, before he could realize the agreement she'd just made, Aelin ripped her hand from his and shoved him through that gateway behind them, back into their own world. Roaring, Dorian fell. As the word gate's misty realm vanished, Dorian saw Aelin take his father's hand. Chapter 96. Rowan had not moved for the hours they'd stood beside Aelin and Dorian, and watched them stare at nothing. Kaol had not so much as shifted either. The night passed, the stars wheeling over this hateful, cold place. And then Dorian arched, gulping down air, and collapsed to his knees. Aelin remained where she was, remained standing and simply let go of Dorian's hand. Rowan's very soul halted.
No,
Dorian rasped, scrambling toward her, trying to grip her hand again to join her. But the wound on Aelin's hand had sealed.
No, no,
Dorian shouted. And Rowan knew then, knew what she had done. The final deceit, the last lie.
What happened?
Kaol demanded, reaching to hoist Dorian to his feet. The king sobbed, unbuckling the ancient sword from his side and hurling it away. Damaris thunked hollowly as it hit the earth. Rowan just stared at Aelin, at his mate, who had lied to him, to all of them.
It wasn't enough. The two of us together, it would have destroyed us both,
Dorian wept.
Yet, Damaris somehow summoned my father, and he took my place. He offered to take my place, so she...
Dorian lunged, reaching for Aelin's hand, but he left the ring of word marks. They now kept him out, a wall that sealed in Aelin. The mating bond stretched thinner and thinner.
She and him, they're going to end it,
Dorian said, shaking. Rowan barely heard the words. He should have known that if their plan failed, Aelin would never willingly sacrifice a friend. Even for this, even for her own future. She had known he'd tried to keep her from forging the lock if she'd mentioned that possibility. What she would do if it all went to hell. Had agreed to let Dorian help her only to get herself here. Would likely have dropped Dorian's hand without his father appearing. Over. She had said so many times that she wished it to be over. He should have listened. Kaol gripped Dorian, and the young lord said to Rowan, softly and sadly,
I'm sorry.
She had lied. His fire heart had lied. And he would now watch her die. Hand in hand with her enemy, Aelin allowed the magic to flow again, allowed it to rage out of her. The Nameless King's power was nothing compared to Dorian's, but it was just enough, as he said, just enough to help. She had never intended for Dorian to destroy himself for this, only for him to give just enough, and then she would have tossed him back into Irelia, so she might finish this alone. Payment for 10 years of selfishness, 10 years away from Terrasen, 10 years of running. The agony became a numbing roar. Even the old king was panting through the pain. Close now. The gold loops and circles of the lock solidified. Still, more was needed. To bind this place, to bind all worlds. He would never forgive her, her mate. She had needed him to let her go, needed him to accept it. She would never have been able to do it, to come here, had he been begging her not to, had he been weeping as she had wanted to weep when she had kissed him one last time.
Come back to me,
he had whispered. She knew he'd wait. Until he faded into the afterworld, Rowan would wait for her to return, to come back to him. Aelin's magic tore out of her, a piece so vital and deep that she cried out, swaying. Only the king's grip kept her from falling. The lock was nearly finished, the two overlapping circles of the eye almost complete. Her magic writhed, begging her to stop. But she could not, would not.
Soon now,
the king promised. She found the man smiling.
I was given a message for you,
he said softly. His edges blurred, as the last of his power drained away. But he still smiled, still looked at peace.
Your parents are. They are so very proud of you. They asked me to tell you that they love you so very much.
He was nearly invisible now, his words little more than a whisper of wind.
And that the debt has been paid enough, Fireheart.
Then he was gone,
The last of him flowed into the lock, wiped from existence. She barely felt the tears on her face as she fell to her knees, as she gave and gave her magic, her very self.
My name is Aelin, Ash River, Galeth.
A choking scream tore out of her as the last of the lock sealed, as the lock became forged once more, as real as her own flesh. As Aelin's magic completely vanished. Chapter 97. She could barely move, barely think. Gone. Where light and life had flowed within her, there was nothing. Not an ember. Only a droplet, just one, of water. She clung to it, shielded it as they appeared, 12 figures through the portal behind her, filtering into this place of places, this crossroads of eternity.
It is done, then,
said the one with many faces, approaching the lock that hovered in midair. A flick of a ghostly, ever-changing hand, and the lock floated toward Aelin, landed on her lap, gold and glittering.
Summon us, our world, girl, said the one with a voice like steel and screams, and let us go home at last.
The final breaking. To send them back. To seal the gate. She'd use her last kernel of self, the final droplet, to seal the gate shut with the lock. And then she would be gone. Once upon a time, in a land long since burned to ash, there lived a young princess who loved her kingdom. Now, one with a voice like crashing waves ordered, we have waited enough. Aelin managed to lift her head, to look at their shimmering figures. Things from another world. But amongst them, pressed into their ranks as if they held her captive, Elena's eyes were wide, agonized. Who loved her kingdom. One of them snapped their ghostly fingers at Aelin. Enough of this. Aelin looked up at her, at the goddess who had spoken. She knew that voice. Deanna. Silently, Aelin surveyed them, found the one shimmering like a dawn, the heart of a flame. Mala did not look at her, or at Elena, her own daughter. Aelin turned away from the firebringer, and said to none of them in particular, I should like to make a bargain with you. The gods stilled. Deanna hissed, A bargain? You dare to ask for a bargain?
I would hear it,
said one whose voice was kind and loving. The thing in her arm writhed, and Aelin willed it to reveal what they sought. The portal to their realm. Sunlight over a rolling green country nearly blinded her. They whirled toward it, some sighing at the sight. But Aelin said, A trade. Before you fulfill your end. Words were distant, so difficult and pained, but she forced them out. The gods halted. Aelin only looked at Elena, smiled softly. You have sworn to take Erewhon with you, to destroy him. Aelin said, and the one with a voice like death faced her, as if remembering they had indeed promised such an outrageous thing. I would like to trade, she said again, and managed to point with that arm that held all of eternity within it. Erewhon's soul, for Elena's. Mala turned toward her now, and stared. Aelin said into their silence, Leave Erewhon to Irelia. But in exchange, leave Elena. Let her soul remain in the afterworld with those she loves.
Aelin,
Elena whispered. Tears like silver flowed down her cheeks. Aelin smiled at the ancient queen. The debt has been paid enough. She had wanted them to debate it. Her friends had asked for a vote on the gate, not just to ease the burden of the choice, but to hear it from them. To hear them say that they could defeat Erewhon on their own, that Irene Towers might stand a chance to destroy him. so she could make this bargain, this trade, and not seal their doom entirely.
Don't do it, Elena begged.
Begged all those cold, impassive gods. Don't agree to it. Aelin said to them, leave her be, and go.
Aelin, please,
Elena said, weeping now. Aelin smiled. You bought me that extra time, so I might live. Let me buy this for you. Elena covered her face with her hands and wept. The gods looked among themselves. Then Deanna moved, graceful as a stag through a wood. Aelin loosed a breath, bowing over her knees as the goddess approached Elena. No one but herself. She would allow no one but herself to be sacrificed in this final task. Deanna laid her hands on either side of Elena's face. I had hoped for this. Then she pressed her hands together, Elena's head clasped between them. A flare of light from Mala, in warning and pain, as Elena's eyes went wide, as Deanna squeezed. And then Elena ruptured into a thousand shimmering pieces that faded as they fell. Aelin's scream died in her throat. Her body unable to rise, as Deanna wiped her ghostly hands and said, we do not make bargains with mortals. Not any longer. Keep Erewhon, if that is what you wish. Then the goddess strode through the archway into her own world. Aelin stared at the empty place where Elena had been only heartbeats before. Nothing remained. Not even a shimmering ember to send back into the afterworld, to the mate left behind. Nothing at all. Chapter 98. It was breaking apart, the mating bond. Bowed over his knees, Rowan panted, a hand on his chest as the bond frayed. He clung to it, wrapped his magic, his soul around it, as if it might keep her, wherever she was, from going to a place he could not follow. He did not accept it, would never accept this fate. Never. Distantly, he heard Dorian and Kaol debating something. He didn't care. The mating bond was breaking, and there was nothing he could do but hold on. One by one, the gods strode through the archway into their own world. Some sneered down at her as they passed. They would not take Erewhon. Would not do anything. Her chest was hollow, her soul gutted out, and yet this. Aelin clawed at the mist-shrouded ground that was not ground as the last of them vanished, until only one remained. A pillar of light and flame, shining in the mist. Mala lingered on the threshold of her world, as if she remembered. As if she remembered Elena and Brannon, and who knelt before her. Blood of her blood, the recipient of her power, her heir. Seal the gate, Firebringer, Mala said softly. But the Lady of Light still hesitated, and from far away, Aelin heard another woman's voice.
Make sure that they're punished someday. Every last one of them.
They will be,
she'd sworn to Kaltain. They had lied. Had betrayed Elena and Irelia, as they had believed themselves betrayed. Their green, sun-drenched world rippled away ahead. Groaning, Aelin climbed to her feet. She was no lamb to slaughter, no sacrifice on an altar of the greater good. And she was not done yet. Aelin met Mala's burning stare. Do it, Mala said quietly. Aelin looked past her, toward that pristine world they had sought to return to for so long, and realized that Mala knew, saw the thoughts in her own head. Aren't you going to stop me? Mala only held out a hand. In it lay a kernel of white-hot power, a fallen star. Take it. One last gift to my bloodline. She could have sworn Mala smiled.
for what you offered on her behalf, for fighting for her, for all of them.
Aelin staggered the few steps to the goddess, to the power she offered in her hand.
I remember,
Mala said softly, and the words were joy and pain and love.
I remember.
Aelin took the kernel of power from her palm. It was the sunrise contained in a seed.
When it is done, seal the gate and think of home. The marks will guide you.
Aelin blinked, the only sign of confusion she could convey, as that power filled and filled and filled her, melding into the broken spots, the empty places. Mala held out her hand again, and an image formed within it, of the tattoo across Aelin's back. The new tattoo of spread wings, the story of her and Rowan written in the old language amongst the feathers. A flick of Mala's fingers, and symbols rose from it. Hidden within the words, the feathers, word marks. Rowan had hidden word marks in her tattoo, had inked word marks all over it.
A map home,
Mala said, the image fading.
To him.
He'd suspected, somehow, that it might come to this. Had asked her to teach him so he might make this gamble. And when Aelin looked behind her, to the archway into her own world, she indeed could feel them, as if the word marks he'd secretly inked onto her were a rope, a tether home, a lifeline into eternity.
One last deceit.
Another voice whispered past then, a fragment of memory, spoken on a rooftop in Rifthold.
What if we go on, only to more pain and despair?
Then it is not the end.
That power flowed and flowed into Aelin, her lips curved upward. It was not the end, and she was not finished.
But they were.
To a better world,
Mala said, and walked through the doorway into her own.
A better world.
A world with no gods, no masters of fate. A world of freedom. Aelin approached the archway to the god's realm, to where Mala now walked across the shimmering grass, little more than a shaft of sunlight herself. The Lady of Light halted and lifted an arm in farewell. Aelin smiled and bowed. Far out, striding over the hills, the gods paused. Aelin's smile turned into a grin, wicked and raging. It did not falter as she found the world she sought, as she dipped into that eternal, terrible power. She had been a slave and a pawn once before. She would never be so again. Not for them. Never for them. The gods began shouting, running toward her, as Aelin ripped open a hole in their sky. Right into a world she had seen only once. Had accidentally opened a portal into one night in a stone castle. Distant baying howls cracked from the bleak gray expanse. A portal into a hell realm, a door now thrown open. Aelin was still smiling when she closed the archway into the god's world. And left them to it, the sounds of their outraged, frightened screams ringing out. There was still one last task to seal the gate forever. Aelin unfurled her palm, studying the lock she had forged. She let it float into the heart of this misty, door-filled space. She was not afraid. Not as she opened her other palm and power poured forth. Mala's final gift and defiance. The force of 1,000 exploding suns ruptured from Aelin's palm.
Lock. Close. Seal.
She willed it. Willed it and willed it. Willed it to close as she offered over her power.
But not that last bit of self. The debt has already been paid enough.
A map home, a map inked in the words of universes, would lead the way. More and more and more, but not all. She would not give it up, her innermost self. She would not surrender. They would not take this lingering kernel of her. She would not yield it. Light flowed through the lock, fracturing like a prism, shooting to all those infinite doorways. Closing and sealing and shutting. An archway to everywhere now sealing. They would not destroy her. They would not be allowed to take this.
Come back to me.
More and more and more, Mala's last power funneling out of her and into the lock. They would not win. They couldn't take it, couldn't have her. She refused. She was screaming now, screaming and roaring her defiance. A beam of light shot to the archway behind her, beginning to seal it too. She would live. She would live, and they could all go to hell. A better world, with no gods, no fates. A world of their own making. Aelin bellowed and bellowed, the sound ringing out across all worlds. They would not beat her. They would not get to take this, this most essential kernel of self, of soul.
Once upon a time, in a land long since burned to ash, there lived a young princess who loved her kingdom.
Her kingdom, her home, she would see it again. It was not over. Behind her, the archway slowly sealed. The odds were slim. The odds were insurmountable. She had not been destined to escape this, to reach this point and still be breathing. Aelin's hand drifted to her heart and rested there.
It is the strength of this that matters,
her mother had said long ago.
Wherever you go, Aelin, no matter how far, this will lead you home.
No matter where she was, no matter how far. Even if it took her beyond all known worlds. Aelin's fingers curled, palm pressing into the pounding heart beneath.
This will lead you home.
The archway to Irelia inched closed. Worldwalker. Wayfarer. Others had done it before. She would find a way too, a way home. No longer the queen who was promised, but the queen who walked between worlds. She would not go quietly. She was not afraid. So Aelin ripped out her power, ripped out a chunk of what Mala had given her, a force to level a world, and flung it toward the lock.
The final bit. The last bit.
And then Aelin leaped through the gate.
Chapter 99. She was falling, falling and being thrown.
The word gate sealed behind her,
and yet she was not home.
As it closed, all worlds overlapped, and she now fell through them, one after another, worlds of water, worlds of ice, worlds of darkness. She slammed through them, faster than a shooting star, faster than light.
Home. She had to find home.
Worlds of lights, worlds of towers that stretched to the skies, worlds of silence.
So many. There were so many worlds, all of them miraculous, all of them so precious and perfect, that even as she fell through them, her heart broke to see them.
Home, the way home. She fumbled for the tether, the bond in her soul, inked into her flesh.
Come back to me.
Aelin plunged through world after world after world. Too fast. She would hit her own world too fast and miss it completely. But she could not slow, could not stop. Tumbling, flipping over herself, she passed through them one by one by one by one by one.
It is the strength of this that matters. Wherever you go, Aelin, no matter how far, this will lead you home.
Aelin roared, a spark of self flashing through the sky. The tether grew stronger, tighter, reeling her in. Too fast, she had to slow. She plummeted into the last of herself, into what remained, grappling for any sort of power to slow her racing. She passed through a world where a great city had been built along the curve of a river, the buildings impossibly tall and glimmering with lights.
passed through a world of rain and green and wind. Roaring, she tried to slow. She passed through a world of oceans with no land to be seen. Close. Home was so close she could nearly smell the pine and snow. If she missed it, if she passed by it. She passed through a world of snow-capped mountains under shining stars. Passed over one of those mountains, where a winged male stood beside a heavily pregnant female, gazing at those very stars. Fae. They were Fae, but this was not her world. She flung out a hand, as if she might signal them, as if they might somehow help her when she was nothing but an invisible speck of power. The winged male, beautiful beyond reason, snapped his head toward her as she arced across his starry sky. He lifted a hand, as if in greeting. A blast of dark power, like a gentle summer night, slammed into her. Not to attack, but to slow her down. A wall, a shield, that she tore and plunged through. But it slowed her. That winged male's power slowed her just enough. Aelin vanished from his world without a whisper. And there it was. There it was. The pine and the snow. The snaking spine of the mountains up her continent. The tangle of Oakwald to the right, the wastes to the left. A land of many peoples, many beings. She saw them all, familiar and foreign, fighting and at peace, in sprawling cities or hidden deep within the wilds. So many people revealed to her. Irelia. She threw herself into it, grabbed the tether and bellowed as she hauled herself toward it, down it. Home. 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 It was not the end. She was not finished. She willed herself, willed the world to halt. Just as the word gate slammed shut with a thunderous crack, all other doors with it. And Aelin plunged back into her own body. The word marks faded into the rocky ground as the sun rose over Endovir. Rowan was on his knees before Aelin, readying for her last breaths, for the end that he hoped would somehow take him too. He'd make it his end. When she went, he'd go. But then he'd felt it. As the sun rose, he'd felt it, that surge down the frayed mating bond. A blast of heat and light that welded the broken strands. He didn't dare to breathe, to hope. Even as Aelin collapsed to her knees where the word marks had been. Rowan was instantly there, reaching for her limp body. A heartbeat echoed in his ears, into his own soul. And that was her chest, rising and falling. And those were her eyes, opening slowly. The scent of Dorian's and Kaol's tears replaced the salt of Endovir. As Aelin stared up at Rowan and smiled. Rowan held her to his chest and wept in the light of the rising sun. A weak hand landed on his back, running over the tattoo he'd inked, as if tracing the symbols he'd hidden there, in a desperate, wild hope.
I came back,
she rasped. She was warm, but cold, somehow. A stranger in her own body. Aelin sat up, groaning at the ache along her bones. What happened? Dorian asked, held upright by the arm Kaol had around his waist. Aelin cupped her palms before her. A small lick of flame appeared within them. Nothing more. She looked at Rowan, then Kaol, and Dorian. Their faces so haggard in the rising light of day.
It's gone,
she said quietly.
The power.
She turned her hands, the flame rolling over them.
Only an ember remains.
They didn't speak. But Aelin smiled, smiled at the lack of that well within her, that churning sea of fire. And what did remain? A significant gift, yes. But nothing beyond the ordinary. All that remained of what Mala had given her, in thanks for Elena. But Aelin reached inward,
toward that place inside her soul. She put a hand to her chest, put a hand there and felt the heart beating within. The Fey heart. The cost. She had given all of herself, had given up her life. The human life, her mortality, burned away, turned to nothing but dust between worlds. There would be no more shifting. Only this body, this form. She told them so, and told them what had occurred. And when she was done, when Rowan remained holding her, Aelin held out her hand once more, just to see. Perhaps it had been a final gift of Mala's, too, to preserve this piece of her that now formed in her hand, this droplet of water, her mother's gift. What Aelin had saved until the end, had not wanted to part with until the very last dregs of her were given to the lock, to the word gate. Aelin held out her other hand, and the kernel of flame sputtered to life within it. An ordinary gift. A fire bringer no more. But Aelin all the same. Chapter 100. A prodding kick from Killian had Adian awake before dawn. He groaned as he stretched out on the cot in the great hall, the space still dim. Countless other soldiers slumbered around him, their heavy breathing filling the room. He squinted at the small lantern that Killian held above him.
"It's time,"
Killian said, his eyes weary and red-rimmed. They'd all looked better, been better. But they were still alive. A week after the 13 had sacrificed themselves and pushed back Morath's tide, they were alive. The witches' lives had bought them a full day of rest. One day, and then Morath had marched on Orinth's walls again. Adian slung the heavy fur cloak he'd been using for a blanket over his shoulders.